This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Is that on? Yeah, great. That was beautiful. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Ashley. Straight from Isaiah 9:6. Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All that wrapped up in an infant. I love Christmas. I love how the world changes around us. Do you notice? I don't mean the crowded shops or the rush or the deadlines or all that food, though that is true. I mean the carols on the street corners, buskers, the ones in stores, carols coming out of our television set, and the receptiveness of hearing the name of Jesus. And I know a lot of us would say, oh, yeah, but it's not what it used to be. But I am so grateful that we live in a society where this still happens. So a blessed Christmas to you all, each and every one of you and your families. We hear so often in the church as a whole about the second coming of Jesus, trumpet blaring, dead rising, a new heaven, a new earth. Many books have been written and many sermons spoken. It's a much anticipated event, the coming of Christ for his believers. Today, we are here to celebrate the first coming of Jesus. And this coming of God was far more encompassing. It was for the whole world. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son forth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. No trumpets, no fanfare, no warrior on a white horse, a baby. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The literal translation is with us, God. I have used this image intentionally. We're talking about God here, making himself small enough to fit in a human womb, laying all of his godness aside and placing himself at the mercy of men. That's how much he wants to be with us. I don't know about you. I pointed at you just looking at that one. I don't know about you, but I find it easier to accept that Jesus was fully God than that he was fully human. And yet he was both at that time. It's hard to take in imagining a human baby, God. God is the Almighty One, but he's also Emmanuel. If you want a balanced picture of God, you've got to accept as true both of those names. I've heard it said, he is God Most High and God Most Nigh. He exists outside of time and space, and yet he is also God with us in our world. God entered space-time 2,000 years ago in a little village outside of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. Matthew 1, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus was subject to the same spiritual laws that we all are. He was also subject to the same physical laws that govern our universe. He put himself under the law to redeem those who were under the law. I really find it hard sometimes to think that, for instance, he succumbed to gravity, that he fell over and scraped his knee or got a gravel rash in his hand. For the better part of 30 years, Jesus worked as a carpenter. And I wonder if in that time, sometime he missed the nail and hit his thumb. Or did he get a splinter? I think he would have. I think Jesus got bumps and bruises. He got tired and hungry. He got sad and mad. I assume he disagreed with his brothers and even his parents. He would have gotten dirty. And with the climate they were in, he would have got all sweaty too, I'm sure. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted just like we are, but he never gave in to temptation. He suffered like we do, more than we do. But he healed the sick. He performed miracles. He walked in love 24/7. It was surely his God side. Well, I believe that that was Jesus demonstrating what it could be like for humans with his help and power. Because God is with us now by his Holy Spirit, if we spend as much time in prayer as Jesus, if we relied on the Holy Spirit as intimately as Jesus, if we heard the voice of the Father as clearly as Jesus, if we realized that the power available to us as Jesus, if we were as obedient and selfless as Jesus, that could be us too. I believe that. Jesus did say that greater things would we do. For you see, the word says in Philippians 2, who, that's Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He was fully human. He chose to put aside his glory. God put skin on, and he became touchable and approachable. And so the word confirms that Jesus became nothing for us. How else would he know what we went through if he didn't experience it himself? And yet he was fully God. And I've thought of some of the ways he revealed his God side. By his parents, his virgin birth. By his life free from sin, that would have been noticeable. By his ability to resist temptation, and also by refusing to call that legion of angels, which I'm sure he would have been most tempted to do. He knew who he was, and he knew what his mission was before him. And of course, there were those times when the Father affirmed Jesus' sovereignty, at his baptism, and also on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke 9 says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, James, and John and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So all that to say that God came to be with us. Firstly, in the person of his son, Jesus. When I think about the word Emmanuel, though, I think, well, he didn't go away again and that was it. It's really a threefold coming of our Lord. Firstly, he did come over 2,000 years ago into this world. Second, he is coming daily, hourly, unto us who believe in him, his spirit into our spirit, revealing himself to our hearts. Jesus said, if I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit, And he will be your guide and your counselor. And he's going to be just like I am. Finally, he shall come in his glorified body, this same Jesus, back to earth again. Matthew 13, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And here's proof he wants to be with us forever. Revelation 21:4, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This may be stating the obvious, but God is Emmanuel, God with us, because he wants to be with us. The greatest gift God gives us is the present of his presence. God's presence is not always tangible. Some people sense it easily, others not so much. But we must all walk in faith. Be assured that if you are his child, he is with you. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all of those who call on him, to all those who call upon him in truth. Hebrews 13:5, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. John 14:18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. He wants to bring us to the glory, his glory, by his presence. He also wants to enjoy our lives with us, alongside us, in us. And he wants to spend eternity with us. A.W. Tozer said that most Christians are theological Christians. He said they are attempting the impossible. They're trying to be happy without the sense of presence. How sad. The greatest gift God gives us is his presence. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is our 24/7 counselor. He's always on call. Before you get up in the morning and after you go to bed at night, he will be interceding for you. That God has gone to great lengths to be with us, to bring us to a point where his righteousness is our righteousness, and we can dwell together. At Christmas, we celebrate the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of God coming to us as a tiny baby, yet a king. God with us, yet an infant. The one who spoke everything into existence laid in a lowly manger. And the good news that is for all people, that the Messiah has come, born to die, to atone for our sin, our risen Lord. He is Savior of the world. A tiny baby, yet a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, and all that so he can be with us. But it is our choice whether we accept him and his sacrifice at all, whether we accept him as Savior, yet knowingly or unknowingly reject walking close with him before he takes us home, whether we accept him as Savior, accept his Holy Spirit, and yet get caught up in living our own way, or whether we accept all he has for us and abide with him as closely as is humanly possible. For whichever of those you are, I can assure you there is more. There is closer. There is God with us in a way you haven't experienced before. He is wanting more. He is wanting closer. He is wanting forever. And he is forever wooing and calling us closer. Emmanuel, God with us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that in the whole scheme of things, from before time began, you had us in mind and you had a plan. And when that fullness of time came, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, that you made yourself as a human, as you made yourself as your own creation, as you submitted yourself to your own laws, Lord. We thank you for that, because in doing that, you became Messiah, that we could be free of sin, free to be and to walk with you. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us right now. Holy Spirit, you are a good friend. And even though you too are Almighty God, I thank you that you will share our life with us. Do share our life, teaching, training us. Continue to woo us, Holy Spirit. Continue to call us closer and forever. And I thank you for this as we go to our respective homes or places of celebration today. Lord, I pray your blessing upon these people. I pray, Lord God, that as we go forth, Lord, we don't just lay aside your story as we go, but Lord, we're going to take it with us, not only throughout today. We're going to speak your name, Lord God, throughout today, but not just today. Lord, thank you because of what you've done. Every day is your day. Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.